Praise the Lord again, church. You could turn your Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter 1. We're talking about the power of a focused life. We've talked about vision, how that if you have a dream or a vision, a plan for your life, that in order to see that accomplished, you have to focus. It takes focus. And today we're going to be talking about distractions. Distractions. How many of you ever get distracted in life? Also, we're gonna finish this. We're gonna go the C, the U, and the S. We started out with the F, which was faith in God and family. We talked about husbands, and then we talked about family, husbands, wives, relation, and family. And we talked about others before yourself. Wednesday night, serving others. And today it's cutting out distractions and unplug as often as you can for the U and the S. How many of you would like to live a simpler lifestyle? Okay, we're going to talk about simplifying our lives this morning. So we're going to start reading our passage for our theme passage is Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his joy, his motivation, what gets him going is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree. You want to know where blessings come from? This sums it up right here. It starts with, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And blessed is a man who delights in the Lord and follows his laws. And then what will happen if he does all of this? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, meaning my fruit. Everybody say my fruit. My fruit, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I want you to say, whatsoever I doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man. You may be seated. You see, distractions, understand one thing about distractions. Distractions, either you conquer them, or they will conquer you. If you're a note taker this morning, we got lots of notes you can take. If we are distracted people, if we are distracted as people, we are distracted as a society, and it stands to reason that would also be distracted in church, because we're a people, we're all peoples, and we all live in the world, we all live in society, in one place or the other. And if everything out there is distracted and we're living in a distractive world, then there's a good chance that that distraction is going to distract us here at church. And a church with a diminished ability to think at a deeper level, a church with the ability to cultivate an environment or a level of deeper consecration in Christ, to emphasize a slow, deliberate, thoughtful prayer as well as meditation, that is what we're looking to accomplish. But distractions will allow or come between us and diminish our ability to do that if we allow ourselves to continually become distracted. What Paul said to the unbelieving Jews of his day could be likely said by many of us today in Romans 10:2. He says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. So he's saying, I bear them, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Or they have all of this zeal for God, but they don't really know a whole lot about him. Christians may be excited about God because they have become a product of our digital world. We live in such a world today of digital. Everything is digital this, digital that. And I believe that through this whole digitizing of society that we're losing our ability to think. I really believe that. We're losing our ability to think and to think deeply. our deep thought. Everything is so superficial. We're losing our ability of deep thought about God to truly know God for who he really is. More and more of us are finding that we can't stop long enough to sit down and read. I read a recent report, and this was kind of interesting. The NBA put this out, and they're talking about shortening the NBA basketball games. Number one is due to the lack of people that are turning out to the games. Their attendance is dropping and such, and people are leaving early before the games are over, or they're just getting old and they're aging out to where it's too hard for them to come, and they're having a hard time getting the younger crowd to sit through a whole game. It's too long. They lose interest. Stated as well in this report was that children today, our young people today, have an attention span of 7 minutes. 7 minutes. So that means as of right now, I've lost most 1/4 of all of our congregation because they've already tuned out. I want you to know that it is a scientific fact that a goldfish has an attention of 8 minutes. I read that as well. You have less attention span, young people, than my goldfish. I'm not saying all of you, okay? I'm not going to throw all of you into that. You guys you're exceptional, okay? All right? And we can't get too excited on that because adults aren't far behind that. Okay, so we laugh about that, but a goldfish, we can't sustain our attention anymore long enough to study. We can't find time to pray. We can't find time to read our Bibles, where prayer used to be the first activity that we had in our day. We would get up and we would pray. But now our daily routine begins like this. Our cell phone alarm clock goes off. We pick up that alarm clock. We turn it off. The first thing we do is we check out who has Facebook messaged me overnight, who has emailed me overnight, who sent me a Snapchat overnight, and we get caught up in all of this other stuff. It's all distractions to keep us from fulfilling what God would have for us in our lives. Our days are starting out with social media instead of praying and opening up our word and reading our word and praying. That's how it has become. It's swallowing up our time. We want to not want to know how to unplug and simplify life. Just turn that junk off. Listen to me. This is one of the greatest dangers that we face as society, and it's a greatest danger that we face as Christians. With the ever-present distractions in our lives, we're becoming a people with shallow thoughts. Everything is a little bit of a soundbite, a little snip here and a little snip there. And shallow thoughts, if you're not careful, will lead to shallow living. So if you want to write out a little diagram in your notes, there's a simple, inevitable digression that takes place here. We have a distraction. That distraction is followed by shallow thinking, and it's not long after shallow thinking that shallow living begins to take place. So we're distracted, we go into a shallow thinking process, and then because of our thinking, what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And now we're all a society of shallow living. All of this distraction is reshaping us in two different ways. First, we're tempted to forsake quality for quantity, believing the lie that virtue comes through speed, productivity, and efficiency. That's what the world tells us today, that everything has to be fast, you have to produce, and you have to be efficient. But that's not right. That's not correct. We're taking quantity and we're putting it in place of quality. We think that we must be better, so we drive ourselves to do more. In our workplaces, they're always trying to squeeze a little bit more out of the day. If we can take and rearrange this and rearrange that, and you find your workplace is in a constant stage of rearrangement all the time. because somebody comes up with this idea or that idea, and we're going to take it if we take this little line and move it in this place and all this and that, and if we stagger break times and lunch times and all this, we can squeeze an extra 7 minutes out of every day. 7 minutes equals $500, $600, $700. So we're putting $35,000, $4,000 on our bottom line every week and 4 weeks out of the month. And every you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are the guys that are pushing those buttons trying to figure out how to be more efficient. You see, instead of focusing our efforts in a few directions, we give scant attention to the many things. We find ourselves just skimming through things. We get a big, long article we're supposed to read, and maybe it's a packet from work, and we just skim through it. We skim through everything. We get an email, we skim through it. We get a text. It's hard to skim through a text, but we skim through a text so we can get on to the next text. And pretty soon, our whole life, we're just skimming through life. You see, some of the same people, we rush through lives and we forget how to move slowly, carefully, and thoughtfully, and we listen to some of the on-the-street interviews, these live interviews, and it amazes me that when you start talking to people and you ask people what they think about something, they tell you what everybody else thinks. You hear the same thing over and over and over and over again. Why is that? Because everybody's getting their information from the same sources. How many times on Facebook have you got the same picture sent to you? And it's new, it's this new improved, or it's this just breaking news. And you look at it and it's from 2012. You're like, are you kidding me? Who just woke up out there? It's 5 years ago. This isn't breaking news, but and everything. And the challenge that's facing us is people repeat what they hear. They repeat what they read online. And the challenge is clear. People have just stopped thinking. They've stopped their critical thinking. We need to relearn how to think. We need to discipline ourselves to think deeply and conquering the distractions in our lives so that we can live deeply. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of shallow living. I'm sick of shallow people. If you're here and you're shallow or you've been told you're shallow, listen, you need to dig in and you need to add a little bit of meat on your bones and you need to develop some more in your life so that you don't have to think like everybody else thinks. God gave everybody a mind, and he expected us to use that mind. Every commercial on TV, every advertisement on the internet is trying to convince us that we're missing something and that they are the ones that can fill the need. And our young girls and our women are bombarded by the media with how they're supposed to look and how they're supposed to feel and how they're supposed to act and what movies to watch, what music to listen to. And if you don't watch this show or that show, you're out of date, you're behind the times, and they're horrible influences on us because they can subliminally tell us how to live and what's right and what's wrong. We're talking about distractions here. Video games. Oh, boy, video games. How much time can you spend on a video game? Media has become the 21st century babysitters. We take our computers, our iPods, and our iPads, and all of the everything that's I this and I that. And listen, church, we're right in the thick of this like everybody else. We're not any different. We're not any better than anybody else. We got to set some guidelines. As parents, we got to set some guidelines, and then we got to be mean about it, and we got to stick to it. We got to go back like Andy Griffith and Aunt B. When Aunt B says no pie, it means no pie. We got to get back to the Aunt B days and say, listen, these are the rules of the household. If you want to watch that stuff, then this is what you got to do. You got to earn it. Young people, you're not going to like me here today. But I want to promise you, okay? If you listen to your parents and you expand your horizons beyond your thumb tips, there's a whole creative world out there that's just waiting. There really is. We live by our thumb tips. The key to overcoming the media is to wise up by what we watch, by what we read, by what we play, and how much time we spend in it. We should always be willing to give up, and quite honestly, some of the things we indulge in the media, we need to give it up. If something is just pure filth, we shouldn't be giving it to any time to influence us, let alone sending it to somebody else. No matter how funny it is, no matter how sexy it is or how cool it is, we don't need that. So we look at the media. It's so easy to get caught up. And when I say media, I'm referring to internet, Facebook, Snapchat, Xbox, Twitter, TV, movies, video games, music, news, now magazines. You can't hardly find magazines. It's all online. This is media. This is a number one distraction in America, probably in our world, is the media. And every time you click on that, they get a penny or they get two pennies. And all of those pennies, all of those clicks add up. And the more clicks they get, the more money they make. And the more clicks you put on there, the more time you waste. And then you get to the end of your day, and you haven't got anything done, and you wonder, I just can't keep up anymore. All of the things that happen, it's too busy. My life is too busy. If you would take that thing and I don't want to say flush it, because you really need it at times, but control it. Control it. Next distraction. So first, I just burned right through. I didn't give you the title on that. That's media. Second distraction, I think, is money and finances. People worry about money. You see, we need air to live. How many of you are breathing right now? Please, everyone say they're breathing right now. Okay? We need air to breathe. You came into this world, the first thing you did was you took a big old gulp of air, and then you started to cry. And with that cry, it sucks in that air. It gets your lungs working. We need air to breathe. But air pretty much is free. We don't have meters in here that when you go out, you got to put a quarter in it or you got to put a dollar in it. That if you got real excited during worship service and you hyperventilated and you ran the aisle a few times, you use more air, so we're going to have to charge you more. Hasn't gotten that way yet. But there's something that we call food that we can't live without. Well, you can for about 40 days, and then after that, you just kind of fall into the abyss. You have to have food. You have to have nourishment. And what is nourishment? How do you get that food and that nourishment? You open up your wallet, and you pull out a $20 bill, and you lay it down at the counter, and you pick up your food. Your drink, whatever you're purchasing. Some families, it's probably $200. Some, it's probably $400, because it takes a lot to nourish when you have a lot of family. So it takes money. It takes finances. And we need to live in this world. But you see, there's one thing about living in the world, and there's another thing about being owned by the world. And why? Because we're supposed to, as Christians, live in the world but not be owned by the world, because we're not of this world. We're of a heavenly kingdom. Okay? So this requires of us to become balanced in our lives. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. And balanced also means balanced in our finances. In the money part of life. You see, the love of money, we hear this scripture misquoted a lot. They tell people, especially people that have a lot of money, that, oh, you got a lot of money, it's the root of all evil. No, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. The love of money. See, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. It's the love of money that can cause a lot of problems in your life. It's because you love money that you don't love your family the way you ought to. You don't love your God the way you ought to, because your God has become the love of your money. See, we can also read in Matthew 6, verses 19, 21, and 24, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. How many of you have a vehicle out in the parking lot? How many of you paid $25,000, $30,000 for that vehicle, and now you look at that vehicle and it's got rust all over it? You get in the seats and the seats have got stains all over it, and you wonder, what in the world happened? You see, it's called rust and moth. It's been here since the beginning of time, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. I can't, because either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So money becomes a problem. So if we read this correctly, if we trust God, he's going to take care of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we all go out tomorrow morning and quit our jobs. You see, or we stop earning money. What we need to do is we need to realize that God is more important and is far more capable of taking care of us than we are. Money might be the blood flow of the world, but it's not the blood flow of those who are in Christ Jesus. Faith is the blood flow. So if we have faith in God, God will take care of us. Distraction number three. How many of you have a job? Does that job ever get in the way? Just think about it. Work. Work, work, work. What a distraction this can be. Now, I'm just not referring to a job. I mean anything from a job to leading worship to a Bible study. There's a lot of things that can be work outside of a job. Okay? And I want to bless people. I want to look good just as much as everybody else wants to look good. And I want to but all what I should really be worrying about is what I am doing for God and what I'm doing. Am I doing what God has called me or desires me to do? And if I do that, he's going to take care of the rest. I love the following scripture in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And now it came to pass that they went. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha. You know, Martha and Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Martha received her unto her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered with so much serving. She was frustrated. Why is it always my responsibility to feed the guests? That was what Martha was wanting to know. She came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve you and all of these disciples all by myself? Do you not understand how hard it is to put together all the fish, all the tater tots, and get all of that homemade sauce that you like to go on your fish? You know how hard it is to get all that stuff together? And you're in there and you're talking about things of the kingdom, and she's sitting right at your feet, and I'm in here slaving away over a hot oven. Jesus answered and said unto her, that was paraphrased a little bit, but you get what I'm saying. That was the message, the long version of, okay? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, I can just see Jesus, Martha, 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 come here, have a seat, sit down just a little, just sit down a minute. Martha, if you're not careful, aren't thou careful and troubled about many things? If you're not careful, Martha, all of these things that you're worrying about, it's going to give you an ulcer. And if that ulcer grows, it's going to cause more health problems. You need to listen to me. He says, but one thing is needful. One thing you really need, Martha, is and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So what Jesus is saying is, listen, let the food rest. Let all of that other stuff go. We're not going to starve to death here in a few minutes. We're not going to die if we don't eat, like, right away, Martha. Don't worry about that. You come in here, you sit down, and I'll minister to you too. I want to minister to you just as much as I want to minister to Martha as I want to minister to Lazarus. So leave the pots and pans and the fish and the special sauce and the tots go. Come in here and let's just talk a little bit of kingdom stuff. You see, it's so easy to get caught up in our duties, but the most important thing is what we're doing for God. So we can get caught up in doing it this week. If we get so caught up with our job, we get so caught up with our work around the house. Listen, husbands, men, we can make a lot of extra work around the house for ourselves. All of those extra things we want, it takes time. I'm finding that out. I'd rather have a blacktop yard painted green. Then I don't got to worry about mowing it. I don't worry about weeds. I don't worry about any of that stuff. I can just come in and leave, and it's green. The snow can melt. It's immediately green. Wouldn't that be a way to go? I think that's what they do in Arizona. They got rock yards. Everything's rocks. You don't got to weed anything because nothing lives in the desert. It's so easy to get caught up that we can totally, completely miss out on the will and the plan that God has for our lives. We can have great motives behind our work, but sometimes we let the work become more important than listening to Jesus. So what we need to do is we need to listen and be flexible. Number four is relationships. Oh, boy. We could spend a lot of time on this one. Some relationships, have you ever had one of those relationships that the person that you're relationshiping with is just like a sponge, and they just suck everything right out of you? You ever have that? If you have a relationship that's like that, boy, you really need to do something about it, okay? I don't know how you would deal with it, but sometimes it's just better to just cut your losses and walk away. Relationships, man, life is really, it's about relationships. It is. Everything in life is about relationship. Relationship, husbands and wives, moms and dads and children, dads and bosses, wives and the lady at the grocery store. Man, you have a relationship with your lawnmower. It may be a good one or it may be a bad one, depending upon what kind of lawnmower you have. I'm just kidding on that, okay? Just wanted to see how gullible you really. No, I'm just kidding. Relationships. Every kind of relationship falls into this category. Relationship is one of the most important, if not the most important, function of our lives because we need relationship to survive. There's that song or that statement that I'm an island. You know, people say I'm an island. You know, I don't need anybody else. I'm a hermit. I can live. I don't need anybody else to live. I can live on my own. Okay, who made the clothes that you're wearing to go out and be a hermit? Okay, there's got to be relationship. You can't go through life without having relationship. And so with that, we can allow any of these relationships to distract us from God. Sometimes husband and wives can distract each other from God. Sometimes children can distract. It's our relationship that we're connected with. It's our connection with the world, and it's our human nature to have relationships. It's not typically by nature that a man, that's why when God was in the, when Adam was in the garden and he was moping around all by himself and there was rabbits all over and there was monkeys and there was giraffes and elephants and he's moping around, he's like, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I'm the only one of me. It's just me, God. Where's my buddy? You see, I'm convinced that if God would have put another man in the garden, they would have cut down every tree and they would have had the biggest tree fort you'd ever see. But God says, I better control this man, so he gave him a woman. You might want to think about that, Adam. That's a long way up there. Okay, all right. It's our relationship. But we allow relationships to threaten us. Why would we want to go through life with a relationship where we always have to walk on eggshells around? I determined a long time ago, listen, if I got to walk on eggshells around certain people and they want to be friends, then if I got to be walk on eggshells, then I want to second think that relationship. I want to be me. I want to be who I am. I want to be able to express myself. I don't want to have to worry about problems in relationship. You see, when we allow any one of these relationships to threaten or to become more important than God, then that relationship can become a distraction. It's all about priorities, putting things in the correct priority. 1 John chapter 3:11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." You see, God calls us to love one another. And so by doing so, we act out of obedience to God. But many times, we don't take God with us in the process, and we need to make sure that we're giving God ample time every day. You see, some relationships demand more time than others. Hopefully, the men and the women, your relationships with your spouse or your children should be high on your relationship list. Should be way up there. These relationships in their nature demand the most time. That's why it's important that they're centered around and on God. If they're not, you will see your walk with God begin a downward spiral. So wrapped up in a nutshell, relationships are extremely important, but our relationship with God should be our priority. How many of you have a hobby? I had to really think this one through when I put this one together. Because I have a hobby. And I love hobbies. I had to narrow them down. I had so many of them, I had to narrow them down. You see, a dangerous thing about them is they can consume a tremendous amount of time. A great way to keep them in check with your hobby, I'm not going to shoot down people in their hobbies, whatever your hobby may be. Have you ever thought about worshiping God with your hobby? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about using your hobby as a witnessing tool? You like to get together and play those video games, and you play them by the hour sometimes. Invite somebody over that doesn't know about Jesus Christ and introduce them to them while you're playing a decent rated video game. All right? I'm not saying video games are a sin. I'm not saying hobbies are a sin. But you can use your hobby. I love model railroading. And it's a hobby of mine. It's a passion of mine, and I love it. But I've determined that I'm going to use my hobby as a witness. Got a man coming over to my house tomorrow, and we're going to look at some things I've done on my train over the last few months. And I'm going to have an opportunity to witness to him because this is what I've done. I've witnessed to him before, and I've talked to him a lot. And you know what he's going to ask me? One of the first things he's going to ask me is, how's church going? You see, I've developed a relationship with him. I go to the hobby store, and all of these old guys sit around like in the barber shop, and they all gossiping about train sets, okay? And I come in there, and I usually go in on Mondays because it's my day off, and they all want to know, how did church go over the weekend? How many people came? And I always tell them, man, we had great services. We had a lot of new people. We had number of people come into the church, committed their lives to Christ, and I kind of go through. I mean, I don't get overboard on doctrine. I got to win them. I got to be their friend. I want my hobby to be an influence in my world of relationships instead of it just being an influence on me. Okay? So hobbies, we got to be careful. It's a great way to get yourself into the world and be an influence. Number six is our routines. Did you know that your routine can become a distraction? It can be. This is a common thing that I allow myself to get distracted all the time, and the most important thing is the time spending with God should be in your routine. Far too often, we just squeeze God in when we have downtime. Oh, I got a few extra minutes. I always catch this red light red, so I'll do my prayer time there in the morning. We rationalize all kinds of crazy things. Listen, we do. We do. So it's easy to get caught up in all the things that we have to do, like work and eat and sleep. So make sure that spending time with God is part of our routine. And also make sure that you're willing to change your routine and let God have complete control. And this 21-day fast is a perfect example of changing your routine so God can take control. Don't let our routine, don't let your daily routine become a distraction from God. I've seen blessings become a distraction. Blessings, desiring a blessing from God more than God himself. Sometimes we, God blesses us, we live our lives, we live just as Psalms 1:1-3, we live that type of a life, and God begins to bless us, and we lose our priorities, we lose that center of balance, and our blessings. I remember praying a prayer and said, God, these blessings have become a curse. Take them away. I prayed that. Because they were taking up so much of my time. If we're not careful, we can say, well, God gave me this blessing, so it must be important to God to give it to me, so I've got to make sure that I take care of this blessing. Okay? So we have to be careful. And sometimes we can desire blessings from God, and we can get so caught up in praying for God to bless us, and God, I need this. God, I need that. And we're praying for all of these things. I just want to tell you, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not seek all these other things first. It's seek ye first. So we have to be careful, because desiring a blessing from God more than God himself can become a distraction. This next one's going to probably blow some of you away, but it can be. Did you know that sitting right where you're at today, church, can be a distraction? Hear me. Church or religion can be a distraction. Believe it or not, these can become a huge interference in our walk with God. You see, church doesn't do this intentionally, but we can easily let it hinder our relationship with God. And you may say, well, how can church hinder my relationship with God? The main reason that it can be so easy to pursue church, that doctrine, beliefs, and relationship about God, is secondary. It's all about church. It's all about keeping up that appearance. I've got to go to church. I got to show up to church. I got to make my appearance at church. And we're so caught up in church that we totally forget that it's all about having and developing a relationship with God. You see, we see so many. How many of you ever sat down and you've watched a Bible documentary? And here in this documentary, you got some old guy that he knows everything there is to know about everything, from Genesis to maps. He knows everything about the Bible. But you listen to him and you can tell real fast that he has no relationship with God. We're not living a documentary. We want to live an autobiography, something that is relational. It's about me and my relationship with God. So when you come to church, don't let this church be a distraction. It's about relationship. If we show weaknesses and struggles, we're afraid that, well, I got to put on my best face. I got to be perfect. No, you don't. I'm not perfect, folks. And please don't ever expect me to be perfect, and don't put me on a perfect pedestal, because I'm not perfect. I was born in the same sinful world that you're born in. I live in the same sinful world that you live in. I fight the same problems that you fight. I try to overcome as much as I can overcome. And when I fail, I fall on my knees in repentance and say, God, I messed up. I got to do better. We're worried that, well, I haven't been there for a while, so they're just going to label me as an outcast. The opposite, that's the opposite. The church is a body of believers. We're here to help each other. We're here to hold each other accountable. We don't like that sometimes, but that's the purpose of the church. We're here to help each other, hold each other accountable, pray for each other, and love each other. To keep church from becoming a distraction from God, you got to make sure that when you're here, you're pursuing God. You're chasing after him before pursuing beliefs about him or a religion. It's more than a religion. It's relationship. We need to get past religion into relationship, and it starts with you, and it starts with me. Number 9, did you know that I can be a distraction to you? Did you know that? You can go ahead and say amen if you want to. It's all right. Oh, me, thought of this. I said, well, how in the world do I want to put myself on this list? What I'm referring to this is you can become so dependent upon your pastor, okay? Now, understand, this can be a really big thing. It can even be a deadly interference in our walk with God. Because if the only time that you're feeding on God is when you're hearing it from your pastor, then you're seriously malnourished. Okay? Some of you come once a week. Some of you come twice a week. Some of you come 3 times a week. How many of you eat 3, 4, 5 times a day? Physically, how many of you eat 3, 4, 5 times? I mean, we're always looking for something to, we're like a cow, we're always looking for a patch to graze in. Listen, in this fast, I've gone up to the refrigerator and I've opened it up, and I can't tell you how many times, Pastor Phil, I've looked at a bottle of pickles and says I'm fasting, I'm not supposed to eat anything, I can drink water, I'm sick of water, and I look at that jar of pickles and it's got 0 calories, 0 nutrition. And I look at that jar of pickles and I've opened it up and I've sniffed them and I'm thought, oh, Lord, I'd love to have a pickle right now. I close the jar and put it back on the shelf. You see, things should become a distraction if the only time that you're feeding or being fed is when you're here at church, then you're starving yourself to death. You see, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, okay? But this is all part about growing as a Christian. If the only spiritual food you're receiving is what you're eating once a week here, or once or twice or 3 times a week, you're slowly starving to death. It's not your pastor's responsibility to be your sole source of spiritual nourishment. If you did that, you would not survive. You would be horribly malnourished. And sadly, this is the case for many spiritually, which rolls into our last point here, and that is what I really feel like can be our largest distraction, even though it's put at number 10. I believe that it really should probably go as number 1, but I didn't want to start out with his number 1, and that is me, ourselves. You see, the last one on the list is us. And it's possibly the most likely to distract us because we are by nature sinful. And if we live by our nature, our sinful nature, then we will not become close to God. I just, this is just so basic, church. It's so basic. Listen, if you're sinning, okay, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If you're sinning and you develop a habit of it, you will struggle praying. You will struggle repenting because your pride doesn't want to do that, because us gets in the way, ourselves gets in the way, and that's why we need to die to ourselves. Romans 6:11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive through God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. But no matter what we seem to do, there's a constant battle within ourselves between the spirit and our flesh. Romans 7, write down Romans 7, 15 through 21. You can read that on your own, and you can read Psalms 139, 23, and 24. This is why we need to constantly allow God to search our hearts. Search me, O God, and see if there's any wickedness, any wicked way in me. Purify me, God. Purify me. I am my own worst enemy. See, when we put into action what's received by God by following His Word and praying and meditating, things you can only learn by doing them. This is why we need to remember, as I said, our pastor can be a distraction. We can be a distraction. So we must learn whenever possible to steer clear of areas that lead us into distraction. It's not easy, but with God's help, once you've established what's most important, relentlessly eliminate anything that's not helping you to achieve your divine purpose. If you don't learn to say no, your life will become overwhelmed by a bunch of demands that you should never have allowed into your life in the first place. The you in focus. We're moving on into the you. The you in focus is unplug as often as you can. How many of you have a hard time at the end of the day unwinding? I do. I have a terrible time. I'll be honest. Sometimes it's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I got to get up in 3 hours. My brain will not shut down. I've done everything. I've jumped rope. I've done push-ups. I bought a mini trampoline, jumped myself into oblivion, and my brain still won't shut down, okay? So this one's hard for me, but I'm learning that it's vital if I'm to maintain any level of sanity and the health of my relationships. You see, electronics get recharged. We got to take our phones. We run home. It's a fight to get to the charger. Who gets to the charger first? You see, our electronic devices, we gotta charge, we gotta unplug them or plug them in. Electronics get recharged by plugging them in, but you see, we get recharged by unplugging. Brother James, and unplugging, shutting down your phone and your computer and all of those distractions, it will recharge your mind. Remember balance and priorities. We're going to cover this in Wednesday night's lesson, but I just want to encourage you to just start to unplug some things, okay? It's not easy. It's not easy. You want to simplify your life? This is so very close to unplugging, so these two points could really kind of apply to both of them. Have you ever longed for just a simpler life? I know every now and then Brother Repke will send me this beautiful log cabin out in some absolutely drop-dead gorgeous scenery in the mountains somewhere, and I'll respond back as, man, I would absolutely love to live someplace like that and just let life just go by. But life doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen that way. But you see, it can. It could happen that way right in the confines of your very own space at home. You know, so when if you look simplifying your life, life doesn't have to feel overly complicated. Sometimes we feel like we're pulled in a dozen different directions at the same time, and We just simply want to live quiet. We want to be peaceful. And if this is what so many of us are longing for, to live a simple life, to live that type of life from what I would call an uncluttered heart, just listen here for a few moments. If you were to step away, and if you were to let it all go for just a moment and ask your heart, what is truly most important? What would your heart tell you? Would your heart say, "Ooh, I want more stuff"? Or would it tell you that it wants to fill every waking moment with busyness? And would it really want to live and continue to live the way that it's living now? Or does your heart say, "I want to slow down and I want to enjoy the journey"? Listen to me here. We're going to slow down just a little bit here, but I want to enjoy those moments in life and the relationships that brings life. I want a life that revolves around Jesus Christ, revolves around loving Him, revolves around loving my wife, my family, my friends, our church. Listen to me. Maybe our hearts, they get confused at times because they're pulled in so many different ways. Sometimes maybe they're just confused, and maybe it's not so much the clutter. But you see, what does your heart want? You see, our hearts can become filled with things of this world, or as Paul calls them, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yet our heart truly does know what's important. We just need to listen. Simply put, simple lifestyle is a choice. You see, if your life feels complicated, if it feels stressed, it feels out of control, then make a choice to examine your life in detail and take it down to its simplest form and live humbly before God. See, we need to learn to live with what we need, not with what we want. You see, I can find beauty and I can find value and I can find worth. My beauty, the value and the worth for me is not in what I own. It's not in my stuff. My beauty and my value is in my relationships with people. I value relationships more than stuff. Rust and moth, everything's going to decay and wither and fade away. But the only thing we can take to heaven with us is our relationship. You see, life is making what every day is about. Don't miss out on life striving for that someday. I know people that they're always looking over the horizon for that great, that next break that they're going to have. They're looking, they have all of these things that they want, and everything's always over the horizon. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month or next year, and they quit living for what's in today. Listen, today is as much of your life as tomorrow or yesterday. Enjoy the moment. Take time. Slow down and enjoy. We get in such a hurry. We always got to be going. We got to grow. We got to go. We got to make more money. We got all of these things to do. And God's saying, just slow down and just breathe me in. Simplify. Simplify. Don't miss out on life striving for that someday. Doesn't mean that you stop making plans of goals and don't stop giving up dreaming and thinking of what could be. But live every second. Live every second with God. And life will take on such a new purpose. This is your life. This is my life. We go on vacations and we say, "Well, it's so good." My wife always says after vacation, "Well, it's back to reality." And I say the same thing. No, honey, this is reality. This is all part of life's experience. We're always in reality. Life is always real. This is your life. This second, this day, dive into it and find out what is precious and learn to delight and love the journey. Declutter your life. Get rid of some of this stuff. If there's relationships in your life that are dragging you down, get rid of it. Declutter your home. My wife and I, we got a dumpster. We set it outside and we just started dumping stuff. We moved 10, 11 years ago, and there's some totes we moved that we haven't even opened up. I don't even know what's in them, so obviously I don't need it. We filled it up, sent it away. Declutter your home, your work, relationships, and make room for your life. Goals, manage our life. We're going to cover that tonight. Boundaries, guarding your goals. Boundaries are easy. They define where you are, what you want, and what you don't want. You have to learn how to manage our time better. We're going to talk about this coming up. If we decide not to do with our days, then our days are going to decide for us. If you don't go in a day without goals and without plans, then whatever happens in that day is just going to happen. So either we make an impact up on our day or our day makes an impact on us. Instead of trying to add more stuff and more stress to our lives, we need to look for ways to declutter and simplify. I got a neighbor that lives right down the road from me. They got a house, probably a $350,000 to $400,000 house. And every time I drive by, their garage doors are up, their cars are out in the driveway, and their garage is full of junk. Oh, it may be valuable to them, but I look at that and I'm like, you got three cars sitting outside, your camper sits outside, your bicycles are outside, and your garage is full of junk. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. Why would you have three stalls to fill them up with garbage? Just rent a dumpster and save on the money. I don't get it. Declutter, clean it up. Manage your time, stop running pointless races, and find rest for your soul, and you can stand to your feet tonight, this morning. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you're heavy burdened and carry heavy burdens and are weary, and I will give you rest." We come in here and we're so tired and we're so worn out. And I want to challenge you this morning to go home, sit down with your wife, or if you're single, sit down, put a mirror in front of you and look at yourself and say, "Listen, I want to get a grip on my life. I want to stop letting other people control my life." That doesn't mean you go in Monday morning and tell your boss off, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Put it in context to what I'm saying here, okay? I want to gain control over my life. I lived a good portion of my life by other people's rules. And I just said, you know what? I'm changing. I'm done with this. Severed relationships, left, cost my job, all of this stuff. I just said, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I turned around and I started heading towards God. And boy, his life, is it hectic some days? Yes, it's hectic some days. Some days I go home and I'm frustrated. Just like you go home, you're frustrated. But it doesn't have to be that way. We need to seek God and seek God's will. We need to do a personal inventory. Establish and confirm goals that relate to attaining the kingdom of God. Remember the letter F, faith in God. Work on overcoming. Serve others as opportunities. Arise and do good works to glorify Jesus Christ. You see, working to attain goals will keep you from drifting and losing sight of your purpose in life. Maintaining spiritual focus is spiritual work. We're talking about the power of a focused life. Listen, it takes work. You got to work at it. You just don't decide today that I'm going to do this, and every day thereafter, it just falls into place. We got to work at it. We got to work at it. Jesus says, or in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, Paul says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, which doth so easily beset us or ensnare us, become distractions to us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, focusing on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in 1 Corinthians 7:35, put this on your refrigerator, and I say, and this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, not that I'm going to control you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Brother Scott, I'm tired of distracted life. This year, I just want to take a different look at life. I want to refocus my life. I want to get my priorities. I want to work at it all year. I want to keep my flesh under subjection. It doesn't mean you're not going to stumble and fall, but when you do, get up and start over again. Don't quit. We can't live a life as God intended. So this morning, I don't know what your frustrations are. I've talked to so many people. So many people, every time I talk to them, it's just life is so busy. I just want to ask you this morning, why? Why? And then how did it get that way? And then what are we going to do to change it? So I want to open up this altar to you frustrated, distracted folks. That'd be about all of us. Let's just take some time out this morning. If you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't want to leave here this morning without giving you an opportunity for salvation. If you're frustrated because you don't have God in your life, I want to invite you to come down here, because we'll introduce you to Him. Mark and Christina and our pastor, some of our pastors, our prayer team, we'll introduce you. But if you're just distracted and frustrated because life has just gotten so busy, I want you to just come down here and say, Lord, I want to make some adjustments, and I need some help. There's a brother or sister willing to pray with you. I want to spend more time with church. I want to spend more time with God. I want to spend more time in His Word. But I got to give up some things. And what am I willing to give up?
I just want to make you glad.
So we could just pray. If you want to sit where you're sitting, that's fine. I want you to seriously, husbands and wives, think about this morning.
I just want to bless you.
Praise God.